All right. During this time, you know, there's only, well, there's not only, but there's many ways to talk about this time of the year and, you know, that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And what I like to do is give enough background information before that day so that we, when the day comes, we have all of this knowledge and understanding of scriptural principles that have been given to us, that where you can picture really the scenery of what happened in that glorious season in Nazareth. So a couple of weeks ago, I gave some background on culture. Last time we talked about the precious blood of Jesus, why is it so precious? Today I'm going to talk a little bit different subject. Now, some of you find yourselves going back and forth to places that you thought you'd never go back to. And when this happens to any one of us, sometimes we feel like we have somehow missed the will of the Lord. We have somehow, we're out of God's will. But that's not necessarily the case. We find in Scripture, we find examples everywhere, especially, well, both in the Old and New Testament, of people that went back and forth to different places. When we think of the time when the Israelites were in Egypt, you know, the story of Joseph. He grew up in Bethlehem, not in Egypt. When he went to Egypt, he went as a slave. And then he ended up in Potiphar's house. And then he went to prison several times. He ended up in Pharaoh's place, palace. And he was an instrument that God used to save his family, their household, and eventually all of Israel enjoyed some time in Egypt when there was a great famine. They were able to survive because of that. So Joseph moved around. King David was one that, because he was persecuted all the time, or many times, he was always moving back and forth to here, to there, hiding in the mountains, in the caves, and all over the place. Abraham, you know, he was in Ur of the Chaldeans, and God called him, and he moved to one place, and he moved to another. And he was, you know, he didn't have a place that he would permanently stay. God was asking him to move around. And so the fact that you may move back and forth, even in this country and within this state, doesn't necessarily mean that you are out of the will of God. God may be orchestrating these moves to develop some character in you so he can use you in the things that he wants to. And, you know, God makes a man before he gives you a ministry. Well, he can call you into a ministry, but the fulfillment of that ministry has to come after character has been developed in you so that he can use you properly. And sometimes, you know, that can go fast, or if we're stubborn enough like I am, you know, it may take a long time. So moving back and forth can be God orchestrating some things, some work on you so that you can grow up. Other times, we move back and forth because of our wrongdoings, of our own judgments. But yet, if you realize what you're doing, you repent, you come back and ask God forgiveness and submit to him where you are right now. Even if you feel that you are out of place, you submit to him right now and say, God, from this point forward, lead me and guide me. He will work all things together for your good. According to Romans 8:28, he will work even the circumstances that look negative into good things, because the Lord doesn't waste anything that happens in your life once you submit to him. So we're going to take a look at the first maybe 2 or 3 years of Mary and her family's travelings. You know, she got engaged and then she got married. And maybe after you see that how God worked in her and the family, he worked his will, maybe you will not feel so lost or so disconnected, because this may be part of God's plan for you. But if it's not, that you know that you're in disobedience, then just get right with God and he will make all things good. So I've got a map. Let me turn this on. I don't know if you can see it. I can barely see it, but that's okay. So I've got, if you notice here, there are numbers here, 1, 3, 8, 10, 5, 7, 4, 6, 9, and 2. These are places that I'm going to talk about in Scripture where Mary and her family moved around. So the first one, obviously the first one is right here, and is the Nazareth. And we find Mary's first place of residence is in Nazareth. It's a little town in Galilee, close to the Sea of Galilee. That Sea of Galilee is that pond in there. It's quite a big pond. It's called a sea, so it's so big. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." It seems, by all indications, that Mary grew up in Nazareth, you know, and probably Joseph was from there too. They were probably betrothed at a young age, and they hung around in Nazareth for quite a while. Well, then the angel appeared to Mary. And then after that event, we see point number 2 down here. So from there to here is quite a journey. Now, they didn't have taxis or Ubers at that time. They had to walk. So it was quite a situation. The second location then, during 3 months, was Mary went to visit her now pregnant cousin, Elizabeth. So Mary was in Nazareth. Elizabeth was in Hebron, which is south of Bethlehem. And Luke 1:39 says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." Now the hill country, like I said, is on the south side of Jerusalem. And then the phrase "a city of Judah" was another way to call Hebron. Joshua 14 talks about city of Judah being Hebron. And this was one of the towns that were given to the Levites in the tribe of Judah and said to be in the mountains of Judea. So that was quite a travel. Now, Mary was not yet very pregnant at the time. So he traveled from Nazareth to Hebron to see Elizabeth. She stayed 3 months with Elizabeth. Interesting, she stayed 5 months hidden. Elizabeth was, because she got pregnant with John the Baptist at a very old age. And so she hid herself 5 months. Now, I don't know, the scripture's not clear whether she was happy she was pregnant or she was embarrassed that she was old and pregnant. But I think she was so happy because it was a shame and a disgrace for a woman not to be able to bear children. And so when she became pregnant, she just said, I'm going to stay hidden here. I don't want anything to happen to this baby because I'm going to have this baby. Everything should be okay. So in the 6th month, Mary goes and sees Elizabeth. She stays with her 3 months. And then when she was getting close to being due, Mary says in Luke 1:56, and Mary remained with her, with Elizabeth, about 3 months, and then returned to her home. So she made this trip down by herself and then went all the way up back again to her place of residence. Then her 4th location was 6 months later, when she herself was almost due in her pregnancy. In Luke chapter 2, verse 3, it says, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So from point number 3, again, to Bethlehem, that's another long trip. And she was pregnant this time, so extra slow. She needed a donkey to carry her, because carrying her and her baby was quite a task. So that was a long journey. Luke 2:15, so it was when the angels had gone away from there into the heavens, and the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem. So again, Mary is delivering in that in the place where the animals were kept. And so the angels announced to the shepherds that Mary is in Bethlehem and Jesus is born. And so the angels go to Bethlehem to see this child who was born. So let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So from 4th, we go to the 5th. Here's 5th. So Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Why did she go to Jerusalem? Well, actually, she traveled back and forth twice from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. First, on the 8th day, the baby needed to be dedicated. So her and Joseph and the baby traveled from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to the temple to present the baby on the 8th day, to be circumcised and presented before the Lord. And then, obviously, they went back home. And then 40 days later, she needed to do purification because of her pregnancy, her delivery. 40 days after, she had to go through a ritual of cleansing in the temple. So they had to go back to the temple again. And Luke 2:39 ends up saying, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. So they do all the rituals in Jerusalem. That's when Simeon took the baby and prophetically spoke a word regarding Jesus. And then Anna, the prophetess, who had been praying there, she was a widow, spending a lot of time in the temple praying. She spoke to everyone about this baby. And after all of that, they went back to Nazareth. So, then about a year later, another event starts unfolding. Now, I'm going from Luke to Matthew. So notice that I said a year passed by. So they're in Nazareth. And Matthew 2:1 says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And this is where, you know, I tend to separate the birth, the nativity scene, and the wise men that came from the east, because scripture says about they came to see the child, not the babe. So it seems that there's about a year or two, nobody really knows, but and they were not in Bethlehem in the inn, in the stable. They were in their own house when the magi, the wise men, came to see them. And so in Matthew 2:7, we know about Herod. Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, you know, Herod wanted to kill Jesus. And so he heard about the magi and he said, hey, where's this king? He's supposed to be born. He wanted to kill him. So he secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. So he sends the wise men to Bethlehem. But verse 9 says, when they heard the king, they departed, obviously, to Bethlehem. But then he says, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So, you know, I had a little issue with this understanding. Now, Bethlehem is here. Nazareth is all the way here. So the wise men had to do a lot of traveling if Jesus, the young child, was already back home in Nazareth. So it says that they followed the star. So it doesn't explain, it doesn't give details. So it is very possible that the magi had to, the wise men had to travel all the way to where the star led them, which was at the house of Jesus. So Matthew 12:10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, figuring the house where Jesus and Mary and Joseph were, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gift to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are three gifts. It doesn't say that there were three wise men either. So it could have been two, it could have been four, 20, but there were three gifts. So, you know, we all traditionally put three wise men because there were three gifts, but, you know, scripture doesn't point to that. And so when the wise men had departed in Matthew 2:13, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take your young child, again, young child, and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there till I bring you word, because Herod wants to kill you. So they're in Nazareth. Egypt is all the way down over there. Of course, I didn't have the map shrunk, so the scale on the map doesn't show here, but Egypt would be somewheres out here or somewheres out there. So it's a long trip. So this is within 2 years, okay? And they have moved. This is what? This is the ninth time that they move. And so they stay in Egypt until the death of Herod, that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Wow. And that's in Matthew 2:15. So just a little pause here and talk about prophetic words, because, you know, I don't flow in the gift of prophecy, but my wife flows a lot. God uses her, and you have, probably all of you here, in one point or another, you have received prophetic words. Notice that the prophetic word that was quoted was, "Out of Egypt I call thee," and that was done by, I think, a prophet, Isaiah or somebody back there, you know, 7 or 1,000 years before this happened. "Out of Egypt I have called you." And so the Jews heard that scripture, knew it was talking about the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was going to save Israel and deliver Israel. And they had a problem with that scripture. "Out of Egypt? You mean he's going to be born in Egypt? I thought he was going to be a Jew." So, "Out of Egypt I have called you." So they were having an issue with that scripture. And yet, God fulfilled it just like he said. Amen. And without any kind of controversy. Yeah. Meaning, when you get a prophetic word, don't assume stuff immediately. You know, this was 1,000 years in its fulfillment, you know, from the time it was spoken to its fulfillment. And it was quite different from what people thought. So when you get a word from the Lord, make sure that you pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to reveal to you what exactly is he saying and the timing and your part in cooperating with the word of the Lord so that he brings out the things that he's promised. So that was just a little excerpt there. Yeah. So that was move number 9. So in 9 they are in Egypt. And then 10, when Herod dies and God said, "Hey, you, Joseph, you can take your family back." Well, he was thinking of going back to Jerusalem, but then he thought, Herod's son is ruling there. I'm going to go back home. So they went back to Nazareth. Matthew 2:19, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned of God by a dream, he turned aside to the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene." So he comes back to Nazareth, a land they probably grew up in, they knew well, they felt safe there, and God said, yeah. So, even though Mary was blessed among all women, remember, she was still subject to all kinds of inconveniences during her young years of engagement and marriage. Yeah. Now, I hope you realize Mary was not perfect. Just as you and I, she needed a Savior. Amen. In spite of all of that, she was willing to follow the Lord very faithfully. Yes. She was provided for. She was protected by the Lord. And she was able to fulfill her call in all of those difficulties. I mean, moving 10 times in 3 years, you know, that breaks your record. You probably thought 5 times in 5 years was a lot. So, even though circumstances were kind of odd, she still was faithful. She stayed faithful to the Lord. The Lord took care of her. We also should be able to fulfill the call of God in each one of our lives, regardless of what circumstances come our way. You know, none of the apostles did everything perfectly, yet they were able to be used of God mightily. So if you feel, you know, somehow you lost God back there and you're out of his will and there is no redemption for you, that's a lie of the enemy. You submit once again to God, and he will lead you and guide you properly. As long as we continue to pursue the Lord with all of our hearts, he will work all things together for our good and for the glory of his kingdom and the blessing of his people. It all starts with committing your life to Jesus and ask him to come and save you from your sinful nature. This is the reason that we were created, to know him and to spend eternity with him. So, if you have not done this, if you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not realized that without Jesus you are lost forever, then give his heart to him. And today would be a great day for you to do that. Now, I want you to realize that just because you give your life to the Lord, things will not automatically go perfectly. But he will be there with you in the good and the bad and the ugly, working in and through all things and developing character in you so that you can be molded and shaped to where he can use you for his glory and for your good. He'll bring benefits to you, he will bring glory to his name, and he will be able to use you to bless many others, including your descendants. So in this time of, we celebrate the birth of Christ, I want you to realize that even though you may feel like you have done so many turns in life that you don't know which way is up anymore, God has got a good compass, and he has a good sense of direction. Yes. If you will submit your life to him, he will guide that compass, and he will, just like he guide the magi, the wise men with a star, he'll use whatever you can hear him talk to you, and he will lead you into the abundant life that he wants all of us to enjoy. So at this time of Christmas, I hope that you understand that this is a momentous time that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, who was destined to go from the manger to a cross because he loved us so much. So don't spend Christmas without Christ. Amen. He is the Christ of Christmas, and he is the reason why we celebrate it. So let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you that even the example that you gave us with Mary and Joseph, and they're moving back and forth. Father, you worked all things together. You fulfilled what you have already decreed that was going to happen as they were faithful in submitting to your will and plan. And Father, we want to do the same thing. We want to submit ourselves wholeheartedly and completely to your will so that you work all things together for our good and for your glory. Father, stop us if we are not paying attention to you in the things that you want to lead and guide us to develop character. Father, bring those aha moments that we need so that we can wake up, realize that you have a plan, a reason for our life, and Father, that you want to bring glory to you and blessing to us. Help us, Lord. And Father, I thank you that we were created for a purpose and you will complete it until the end. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. So if anyone has not made that decision, if you have not given your heart to the Lord, then we're going to be here. I pray that you would come and we can talk and help you. Otherwise, be blessed, and we will see you hopefully next Wednesday to see the children do their part. God bless you. Have a good day.